Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and at it, Greg. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
Greg, I think he's from the Netherlands, right?
Or
New Zealand.
Did you just say he's from the Netherlands?
Or New Zealand.
Or Australia.
No, he's not from Australia. Okay. I think he is. I think he's either from, maybe New Zealand.
From the Netherlands.
Yeah, I think so.
What?
He is from Australia.
Oh, he's from Australia? He's from Australia.
That's what I said.
The Netherlands.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that map make map? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
I'll do it myself.
Couldn't stop. We were live, folks, on national television.
Oh,
couldn't
wow.
stop.
He did stop and stared him down like a douche.
Correct.
I'll do it myself.
I'll do it live, Wiggy.
All right, whatever it is.
We'll do it live.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tandem.
Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
So, I call this short guy syndrome, by the way, but that's neither here nor there.
We know you hate short guys.
It's abhorrent.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Go put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime.
I mean, I think Wiggy's life expectancy is about 5 years considering the BMI, but, you know.
The craziest for me.
Yeah, but at least I'm a big guy. Fat. Skinny fat.
Oh, wow. Got me there.
Now,
let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Got my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill.
Yeah.
Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
All right.
Woo. It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
Good morning, Boston, New England.
Good morning.
Hello, Courtney Wiggs.
Hello.
What up, what up?
Shimer, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you today?
Well, I have the unfortunate news to say to the rest of you and all of our listening and viewing audience that Greg is not returning to work until Jimmy Kimmel's job is restored at ABC.
Right.
He stands in solidarity with the late night host. Do you know what's weird about the world of today?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like maybe 1% of the people that are outraged about Jimmy Kimmel or celebrating either side watch Jimmy Kimmel at 11:30 at night.
Correct.
Like, I can't tell you the last time I did. It's not an insult to him. I don't watch anybody. I'm not up at that hour.
Right.
But, like, the late night whole, for me, growing up, it was a really cool thing if I was allowed to stay up for Saturday Night Live.
Right.
That was, like, the 90s SNL. You had Chris Farley, Adam Sandler, Meadows, you name it. It was, you know, Chris Rock, phenomenal show, hilarious. That's all gone. Like, we'll get to it during the news with Courtney about, you know, right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so weird how people are so engaged. Either if the conservative side says that Jimmy Kimmel's irrelevant, so then why do you care what he says?
Right.
And then The liberal side said this is fascism, but then how are you allowed to say it's fascism on CNN and still have a job?
All I'll say at this point about it, because we are going to get to it in the news, is Jimmy Kimmel has made his political beliefs incredibly clear since he's been on air. So for everybody to... Santo and I went and watched what he said after the news broke because I expected it to be what the crazies are doing, which is celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk.
Right.
It was far from that. I mean, he calls Tyler Robinson a murderer, that he assassinated him, and then he starts talking about Tyler Robinson and his political beliefs. That's what people got upset about. It just, for you to lose your job over that, when aren't we just talking about freedom of speech right now?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the main point that Charlie Kirk...
It wasn't because of, like, the Trump jokes about him not grieving the friend of the loss of his friend in the construction.
Yeah, well, I mean, he played that as well, but people are more upset because he made Tyler Robinson out to be MAGA.
Yeah, I honestly, it's just so strange to me. The answer to cancel culture isn't to recreate it. The answer to cancel culture is to allow the marketplace to dictate whether or not something should be on the air or not. I have not watched it. I mean, he had quite the weird, you know, actually Jimmy Kimmel and Greg have a lot in common.
Mm.
Like if you go back to the AAF of the 90s, you have the Hillman show, you know, they had the Hillman calendar, they had the Bakhtini parties. Jimmy Kimmel had like crazy man show stuff. And then he like evolved into this, like, he's like Howard Stern in here. Like they went from being this nut job to Meet the Press.
Yeah. Generation Jones.
He is Generation Jones.
There's no such thing as freedom of speech no more. I've learned a long time ago. You can say what you want, but then the consequences you're going to have to deal with. Whether that's get suspended, whether that's get canceled. So, you know, the world we live in nowadays, everybody's sensitive, everybody's soft. We're so political. I care less what you say, either way, one way or the other. You don't affect how I live every day. You don't put food on my table, a roof over my house, clothes on my back. But, you know, that's the world that we live in. So once you go down that road and you're going to say something, you got to know, yeah, you could say what you want, but you're going to have to deal with the consequences, especially if you ain't your own boss. That's the thing. If you ain't your own boss and you're not a person, if you're a person who has somebody above you that's a decision maker, you got to be careful what you say.
Yeah, he's just Jimmy Kimmel, from the clips I have seen. Again, I'm not up at 11:30. I'm not watching his show, but I will watch a clip if it comes across my desk. And Jimmy Kimmel has made comments about Trump, about the right, pretty frequently. And this just didn't seem like it was grounds for pulling the plug on a show.
No, it doesn't. But he has bosses, and who the hell knows who pressured them into
right.
it? That's why when you're in that position, there might be some things that slide, but there might be some things that the bosses get so much pressure on. They're like, we got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And even though whether you agree with it or disagree with it, that's the world we live in. You know, unfortunately, until you get FU money and you can say what you want and you don't care about the consequences, you know, these are the things that ultimately are going to happen to all of us that have somebody pulling the strings over top of us.
Yeah, it's freedom of speech exists, but freedom of consequences doesn't. If you work for people, they can dictate it. I agree with you, Wiggy. It's just so strange to me. The whole thing about like both sides like getting the pound of flesh, saying, "Oh, he got fired, we win." Like, I don't know. I hope that this. I don't know. I don't know if this is ever going to correct, if this is ever going to course correct.
And all the people are like, things ain't going to change. Things are going to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, the world.
But
is
how
the-
do you bitch about cancel culture and then get involved in trying to get someone fired? Like, that seems to be counterintuitive.
It is.
Yeah. The world is never going to change. We're divided. It is what it is. Suck it up. You know, I hang with people that might not be or might not have come from the nicest backgrounds. The world is what it is. People will look at that in a certain light. I just live my life the way I live it, but I know that this is the world that we live in. And, you know, and my mother used to say, until you understand and you accept what it is, life ain't fair, and this is the crap that you're living, enjoy it, be happy, because if you think things are going to change, you are out of your mind. We are divided, and we'll be divided. long after I'm gone. Hopefully it'll change one day, but this is just the way it is. So be happy the best way you can.
Yeah, I would just ask that the people that are so on both sides of these issues, like, go outside, go enjoy something. Like, I feel like we just get into these rabbit holes of just misery.
That's the way it is, Curtis. But the thing I would say is, who cares how it is? You got to learn to just be like, this is it, and I'm going to enjoy life as it is.
Yeah. Well, that's the Belichick coaching in you. Do business is being done.
That's it.
And that is Wiggy. Wiggy is an oracle. If you listen, you'll get the facts of life. And I'm not being sarcastic. Mm-hmm. But Red Sox won last night.
There you go.
They're not getting canceled.
Yeah, they did.
And do we have the updated magic number?
$1.429, $626.
Is it 10, 9, 8, 7? Do we actually know what the magic number is?
Is there a number?
Yeah, it's somewhere out there. Maybe right. Jackson has it. But
Coming in at number third.
Do you notice that once we play one?
Yeah, it's a snowball effect.
It's just,
yeah.
The floodgates open.
Yeah.
That would have been a disastrous loss last night. Oh, my God. The A's
so
suck.
Bad. And another chance you blew it again. Bases juiced
again. What is going on?
And Cleveland won last night. So that was a situation that they needed to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, that would have been one game out of the loss column had they not come back and won that in 10 innings last night. So the Red Sox win. They get off the schneid for a day. Craig Breslow will be on with us at 9 as part of the front office report. In about 35 minutes, the head coach of Boston College, Bill O'Brien, will be on with us at 6:45. We got Courtney at the news at 7:30. We got to get to our leads on time today because of Bill O'Brien. And I'm going to try this weird thing, Shime. We're going to do They Said It at 7, where we'll actually try post Billy O to do They Said It and then do the news, maybe all in one segment.
Wow.
We'll see. Outside the box thinking. But we'll see if we can.
You're crazy. You're crazy, man.
I am crazy. And I have an open-ended football question that I want. It popped into my head driving in today. As the Patriots prepare for the Steelers on Sunday at 1 o'clock, would you trade today Drake May for Joe Burrow with everything the same? You know, the ages,
you know,
are
the injuries,
same.
Contracts, everything.
Contracts, injuries. If the Cincinnati Bengals said, I'm broke, we need to make this trade, would you trade Drake May on September 18th, 2025 for Joe Burrow straight up?
I don't think so. And that's crazy to say. I know when you look at who Joe Burrow is and who Drake May is so far. But Joe Burrow, unfortunately, I think is going to deal with an injury every other season at least. Mm. Like, I really think that he is injury prone.
Well, I think even on top of that, Courtney, to that point, like, what is he away from Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins?
Yeah, that's...
He played a half a season before he tore his ACL in the NFL.
He was pretty good in that half season, though.
They didn't win a lot of games, but yeah, he was fine. Like, he wasn't great. But, like, it's just... I on top of the injury thing, like, what is he away from two of the better receivers in all of football? Especially if you put him on this Patriots team. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, nobody to throw to.
Yeah, the injuries concern me, and he's not a mobile guy. So if the offensive line isn't great, he's got a giant target on his back because he doesn't move well. But that would be my biggest concern. With Drake May, you know, has the ability to develop into a much better passer. But we know what his legs can do for him to get him out of certain situations. And so, I mean, so far, so good. He hasn't really dealt with crazy injuries. He's had the one concussion, which I don't even think kept him out of a game. So that might be the thing that concerns me with Burrow, because it's been like every other year, whether it was the calf, whether it was – didn't he have like the hernia or the oblique or something like that?
Last week at the beginning of the season, it was the whole wrist thing where he couldn't hold a water bottle.
Was there a shoulder injury last year or in the offseason, or didn't he have surgeries to repair something?
I would just say I would take Burrow.
Really?
Despite the fact that he has the injuries, he has shown that, first of all, if you can carry Ed Orgeron to a national championship, that's pretty impressive. And secondly, he got to a Super Bowl.
Right.
He was one drive away from winning a Super Bowl against that Rams team. I would take – I know what his peak is.
Right.
I don't know what Drake May's peak is.
That's a good point.
Because the amount of people – Joe Burrow, by the way, went into Kansas City down 21-3 and beat the Chiefs in overtime – And if not for some bizarre officiating where we saw Zach Taylor mouth, it's rigged, he was going to win twice in a row.
Yeah.
In Kansas City, he's Tom Brady, Joe Burrow, and Jalen Hurts are the only three quarterbacks to be picked.
But you got to be on the field to be able to do that. That's
how old
my
Joe
issue.
Burrow?
28, 29.
Oh, so, okay, so.
I think, did we do that yesterday? Is he? He's older than
he's 28.
Think. 28.
All right, so, I mean, he's definitely got another 10 years in him, so.
Right, he turns 29 in December.
Might be able to sway me to Joe Burrow because I.
Like, you think he has another 10 years in him with these injuries?
Yeah.
Like, they're constant.
Well,
they're,
I mean.
What if you got five great years instead of 10 you don't know?
So I think where the Patriots are currently right now, you could get five excellent years, like amazing years, and I don't know that it's enough to win a Super Bowl at this point.
Yeah, but I don't think he's saying win a Super Bowl.
Right, but I'm saying like...
Like, if you're just saying if I'm starting a team from scratch, I'm taking Joe Burrow. He's the better quarterback.
I'm talking about, yeah, today, well, starting this team from scratch today, who would you take?
Yeah, I'd probably go Joe Burrow.
It has to be Joe Burrow. Yeah, like, I don't think... I love Drake May, but Joe Burrow's freaking insane. He's so talented. It's unbelievable. When he is on the field, you're right, Curtis. Like, he has proven he can get you to a Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm just saying, for this New England Patriots team as currently constituted, I would keep Drake May just because of where you're at, how you're building. And, I mean, this offensive line is probably slightly better than what they have in Cincinnati. And he's never had a good offensive line.
Yeah, I would probably lean more towards Joe Burrow as well because, like you said, Curtis, you know what Joe Burrow is.
Right.
Drake May is an unknown. We don't know. He looked good last week, but that, you know, that's 1 week where Joe Burrow has, when he's been healthy, to Courtney's point, when he's been healthy, has been one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. So, you know, give me that and I'll roll the dice on the injuries.
All right. Well, we could talk about that. 617-779-7937. We had, as I just mentioned, about 30 minutes from now, we have Bill O'Brien right now. Here's Courtney with what's trending.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
It took 10 innings, but the Sox take the second matchup with the Athletics for a 5-4 walk-off win. Nick Sogard pinch-hitting for Rafaela, hit a walk-off to first base. Eaton broke for home and beat Nick Kurtz's throw to Boston's 11th walk-off win. That score brought to you by the Mass State Lottery. Let's make it the best night ever. Grab your friends, pick your numbers, and celebrate the night with Keno and the Mass State Lottery. You must be 18 years or older to play. Alex Cora did give an update on Willier Abreu before the game last night, saying Abreu will not be playing tonight. Reminder, at the end of last week, we had said that he was expected to play in this series with the Athletics, but he's still on the road to return. We're going to have Craig Breslow on the show this morning, and I can't wait to ask him about that. Another one with the Athletics today, 1:35 first pitch with Brian Baio getting the start. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Joe Weil at 12:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Bruins take the ice for training camp today. That started yesterday, but it was all off ice yesterday. Today it's on ice. David Pastrnak will not be participating as he's dealing with tendonitis. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we've got Billy O. Stay tuned for that.
In the leads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Greg Hill Show without Greg. Greg will be back tomorrow. He's on location in Vermont helping out with a big Subaru confab. So we'll see him tomorrow. Did they have a good time? I haven't checked the Instagram.
I did get I got a photo from Lindsay of Greg trying to text with his glasses on top of his head. If you know Greg, you know. And then it looked like they had a beautiful evening. The bar at Woodstock is incredible. And then they were outside. It looked like Subaru had an unbelievable tent set up. So, looked really nice.
Clocked it. He did clock it.
And what does clock it mean? They did it right?
You noticed something. Like, you noticed it before it was talked about.
You clocked
it. Is that
it.
What it was?
Yeah.
Oh, so you saw a trend first?
You took note of it,
yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you, all of a sudden, you're two people you know are getting divorced, and you're like, clock that.
You called it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically the same thing.
All right. Well, Greg ate a massive dinner last night, and I clocked it. Yeah. So, we have the leads coming up in a second. Bill O'Brien in 20 minutes. But right now, let's check out the calls at 617-779-7937. Coach in New Hampshire. Good morning, Coach.
Great show, Curtis. Three really quick points. One, the first four hitters in the Oakland A's lineup last night have hit 115 home runs. The Red Sox can't say that. Wiggy, the country is divided, but let's get rid of the
He said the country's divided, and then he said, let's get rid of something.
The politics of some kind.
But that'll never happen. I mean, you know, my mother used to say, wake up and smell the coffee. That'll never happen. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. Like, you think people are instantly one day going to go, you know what? You know, we shouldn't talk about politics. You know? I see your side.
Right.
I get it. That's never going to happen.
Well, the other thing that's just so weird is that people, like, today are saying they're making a business decision that it's the ratings that led to this. Like, I don't know how you have a functioning brain and you think that it was not because a bunch of people complained about something he said.
Bingo.
That's the free market. Whatever. Not how I would operate. Right. I would not. The other thing is people in the media celebrating somebody else being fired for something they said seems like karma to me.
Yeah.
Not exactly what I would do. But either way, the A's may have more home runs than their first four hitters, but the Red Sox are a far better team than the A's. Randy's in Providence. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, guys. Look, I just called in this morning to say that, you know, you guys got listeners from all sides, right? Left, right, middle, all of that. And there are very few things that all of us can agree on. The one thing we can all agree on is not one of us turns on sports radio hoping to hear about Jimmy Kimmel and politics.
Yeah. I mean, Randy, sports. I think what we're talking about is my old friend Jerry would say, we're talking about what sports fans talk about. So today, the biggest story in the country, everywhere you look, is Jimmy Kimmel getting fired. And I think it's interesting and noteworthy. And I also think it's interesting that Greg didn't come in the morning that Jimmy Kimmel is off the air. So we'll get to Bill O'Brien in 20 minutes, but let's get to this right now.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
All right, I have two guesses.
This is a layup for you, I think. I know you know who they are.
Oh, you should know this one.
Is this Green Day?
No.
Pot USA?
No. Close.
No. Offspring?
Close.
You're getting there. You're getting warmer.
Close.
Oh, Glycerine, Bush.
No.
Foo Fighters.
Creator of grunge.
Nirvana.
There it is. Great job, Curtis. I knew you'd get it.
Oh, God, I felt so good. Wherever life takes you, trust Subaru to get you there safely. Don't miss the Subaru of New England all-wheel drive event, Subaru of New England. Good morning, Shine.
Good morning. I almost decided to go with like a Jackson-style lead today.
All right.
Should I, Wiggy?
Yes.
Okay.
Always.
All right. So here's my Jackson-style lead for you today. There was an announcement yesterday that one of my favorite artists of all time is going to be playing at the Sphere in Vegas for like six nights.
Ooh.
I have since started to clock all the different flights potentially and ticket prices. And I'm curious, if one of your favorite artists, like a Mount Rushmore artist for you of all time, was playing at a place like the Sphere, would you do everything you could to be there?
Yes.
Yes.
Probably not.
There are rumors that Taylor Swift is going to do a small type of little show there, and I will be doing everything in my power to be there.
Yeah, so my guy Alenium, he is a DJ. He is one of my favorite artists of all times. A lot of sad boy EDM, which I vibe with hard. He has put six different dates out in March that he's going to be doing. Pre-sale goes on sale in a week, And so I am kind of salivating at the opportunity to try and go see him.
You got to do it.
Huh? Yeah.
I think that the Sphere is going to be something people are talking about forever and ever. Like, I wish that I had made a point to go see Backstreet Boys there because it looked electric.
Oh, that would be cool.
But
you can go see anybody at the Sphere.
I know, but I would only want to make that trip and go to the Sphere if it's somebody that I really, really, really love.
Oh, okay.
Zach Brown Band, I believe, is doing a show there. That would be a really cool one. Like I said, Taylor Swift, I would do anything.
And
it's
short money to go out there now, so jump all over that, Chime, because Vegas has, like, gone downhill when it comes to people going there.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's not like...
Tourism's down.
Yeah. It's not
interesting.
The flights will be good, and I think you could get a hotel that's cheap in Vegas no matter when. The ticket prices at the Sphere are astronomical.
Are they?
Are they still up? Okay.
How many people does it seat?
Oh, that I don't know.
I think it's like 5,000, maybe something like that.
Can you get my question to Bill about the Sphere? No.
20,000 people.
Wow, 20,000.
Yeah.
With
really?
18,600 fixed seats and standing room for additional attendees on the ground floor.
I was way off. But yeah, Shime, tourism is down in Vegas, so it's probably a good time to get out there.
Because I've been to Vegas once. Mm-hmm. I was there for 4 days for a buddy's wedding. I never feel the need to actually go back to Vegas. Like, mm-hmm. I got my Vegas experience. I'm fine. But the Sphere looks like an awesome place to see a show. And a guy like Illenium puts on a tremendous show. There's tons of lights and pyrotechnics and videos and all that kind of stuff that I think would be insane at the Sphere. So that may be in my future right before my wedding.
It does look pretty cool. I think The Wizard of Oz, they said, makes $2 million a night out there because of all the lights and
the production
and how it's like just looks
massive. So cool.
So yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Shime. Is Jackson doing a lead today?
I don't know. That's up to you.
Yeah, Jackson. I mean, let's go. We gotta hop on. Let's see what we have here. I mean,
love a good Jack lead.
Any guesses?
No. That's the thing about a Jack lead. It could take you in so many different places.
I do want to know if he went with that apartment that was offered to him in Pepperell.
Okay. Well, yeah. Good point,
Derek.
Oh, was in Pepperell?
I believe it was in Pepperell. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can ask Derek about that after, as long as Jackson's ready here.
I mean, we could just ask Jackson about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Cut out the middleman.
Hey, hello, good morning.
How are you? How did you take the place in Pepperell?
You know what? Pepperell's a little bit too far for me.
But did you find a place?
You know what? Ding, ding, ding. Yes, sir.
Yay.
There you go.
I'm going back to my hometown of Hyde Park, which is like literally I can throw a baseball from my house to the new place, which is awesome. I'm very happy about it.
Oh, great. Go. When do you move in?
That is up for debate. Is either the 15th or the 1st of October.
All right. Well, congrats. What's your lead this morning?
Thank you. So my lead actually has to do with that. I wasn't sure if I was going to be called on or not, but there's a lot of negativity in the world right now, so I'm going to go positive. I'd just like to thank everybody in the Greg Hill audience world, because since I've talked about needing an apartment and the woes of finding one, I've gotten so many people reaching out. Nothing, that landed, but it's just really nice to see that, I'm Greg Hill show adjacent pretty much. And people still want to help me out just because of the name and just because of WEI. And I got to thank you. That's really, really nice. Unfortunately, we found a place, but I appreciate everybody reaching out, trying to help and being a good listener. It's awesome. It's
good people
positive.
Out there.
All right,
that's
Derek.
Nice.
Thank you very much. I mean, Derek. Thank you, Jackson. I'm looking at Derek and Pepperell. Courtney, what's your lead?
Good morning. excuse me.
That's all right.
Dear.
Oh, gosh.
Choked up over that lead.
Yeah, wow. That was beautiful, Jackson. Thank you.
Are you going to die?
Yeah, Greg's out and I start having that.
Yeah.
Jordan Hudson, back in the news again. She's going to be in the news for the foreseeable future. But I had a lead a few weeks ago about the fact that if you clicked on Dancing with the Stars this season and their info bubble, Jordan Hudson's name appeared alongside the rest of the cast. Well, now insiders are speaking and they are confirming that Jordan Hudson was supposed to be on the season of Dancing with the Stars and backed out last minute. She wanted, get this, creative control over Dancing with the Stars this season. She didn't want to have her storyline to be only about her relationship with Bill and the controversy that surrounds it. The source said, quote, Jordan mentioned she wasn't interested in doing certain interviews and she wanted to control loads, including picking her dance partner and when to practice so she could attend games with Bill. She also didn't like the direction that Dancing with the Stars wanted to take her story because it seemed it would be all about the controversy
and she wasn't interested in making it about her and Bill. I understand that. I understand Jordan Hudson is her own person, and if she's on Dancing with the Stars, she doesn't want it just to be about, you know, the fact that people don't like that she's dating an older gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But asking to pick your partner, asking to pick when you are able to practice or not practice, when you are among people who have crazy busy work schedules and are doing this the right way.
I mean, yeah, that's a stretch there. I don't know if Corey Feldman has a crazy
business.
Okay,
you keep going to him. But
that's who the that's
no,
who
I know, but you don't know
stuff.
Like you don't know Alex Earl. Alex Earl
they're
Earl
all
has a
crazy D-list celebrities.
Alex Earl was you about 10 seconds
ago. I mean, Courtney, you make it sound like it's Leonardo, Brad Pitt.
That's not how I'm making it seem. I'm just saying compared to Jordan Hudson, these people have a much busier schedule than Jordan Hudson right now, whose main focus is Bill Belichick Productions.
That's debatable.
I mean, I think that Jordan Hudson has the time to be able to do practices when Dancing with the Stars wanted to do practices. I think that this, unfortunately, just speaks towards what we've heard about her, whether it was Hard Knocks or any other production that has wanted to take place with them.
Courtney, I know I'm simple, but like, would you hire a publicist who constantly herself gets negative publicity?
Probably not.
Like, if you
but he trusts her.
Okay, a lot of people trust people. I mean, not to go dark, but Gabby Petito trusted her boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, just because you trust someone doesn't mean that they're going to take care of you. This person is a train wreck. Think of how helpful that would have been for her brand if she was on Dancing with the Stars.
And I also think that it would go so well for her if every production company that she had any opportunity to work with, they had a great working relationship with her. Like, they walked away from it being like, she's smart, she's hardworking, she's, you know, doing this for her. Yes, she didn't want it to be all about her and Bill's relationship. She wanted
but
to
you see why she did. Like, I'm no, listen, whether she does it or she doesn't, but you see her point to it, right? If they wanted you to do a show and all they were going to do was really talk about the fact that you date somebody, a dinosaur, and the negativity, because that's what they know sells. No one care. They don't care, Jordan Hudson, what you do in your spare time. They want to know why you date somebody this. So, like, so she's saying, I'm not going to go on a show that's just going to promote and highlight the negative aspect, because that's what everybody wants.
Yeah, I just wonder if that was the only thing that she had and she didn't want it all to be about the negative side of that relationship, then I'm sure they could work something out. I think it's when you throw in, I want to pick my dance partner, I want to pick when to practice.
Yeah, that part I understand.
That's a negative towards your working character. And that paired with what the people from Hard Knocks said about her and what we saw from that CBS Morning interview, it's just, media-wise, it's not looking good for her. And I do wish that she would realize that. And I understand being a strong, independent woman and wanting to, you know, give it to them. But you gotta play the game.
But see, the game is, and this
it's easy to be nice.
No, but the game is, they want her on for the controversy.
Well, so, because that's how she got famous.
Right, but she's saying, I don't want to be on for that.
But
and unfortunately, they're going, well, listen, hey, Jordan, you're either going to be on because of that. No one cares that you're a cheerleading coach. We don't care about that. People who tune into these shows, reality TV, want to see the train wreck. I love reality TV.
100%.
And the best part of reality TV is when they're flipping tables and throwing drinks. I don't care that you're helping kids at the community center.
That's she true. Needs to realize that the reason she got asked to be on it is because she entered the limelight because she's dating Bill Belichick.
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
And until she goes, okay, I'm cool with that. You want to talk about that? I got no problem with it. Then that's where she's going to have to understand people are not going to want her unless she's bringing that to the table. And if she doesn't want to bring that to the table, then this is what's going to happen. They're going to be like, you know what? Okay. If, I guarantee you, if she said, you could talk about Bill and all the controversy all you want, I just want to pick my dancer and I want to schedule it when I want, they would have been like, okay.
Oh, I think that they were probably more upset about that stuff.
But what if she and Bill were the team? Now that would be a ratings juggernaut.
Yeah, they
Belichick
probably
doing the waltz.
They probably said, hey, any chance we can get Bill on?
Right.
And if she would have said, yeah, I can get him on, they would have They would have succumbed to every thing that she wanted.
First song, Mambo Number 5.
Yeah, probably.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been good.
Thank you, Courtney.
You're welcome.
Wiggs, what's up?
All right, good morning. So as I sit here and I look at the Patriots and I look at them host the Pittsburgh Steelers this week, I know it's an important game. I don't think it's a must-win game. But when you start to look at Drake May and what his performance needs to be, my opinion, doesn't have to be where he – what was he, Shime? 78% completion percentage last?
Like that, I think it was 19 of 23.
Yeah, so something, it was ridiculous. It doesn't need to be that, but I do want to see the progression of him playing loose, consistently getting better this week. The expectations for me, at least as a fan, is that you should be able to beat Pittsburgh at home. Will be a close game. But what this will do to ease the minds of, like, okay, Drake and Josh might be able to get this thing right.
Yep.
Is going to be about his performance this week in Pittsburgh and putting another good performance back to back. Then you got the Carolina Panthers, where you should be able to put another good performance at home against a team that's not very good before you have to go on the road to Buffalo.
Drake and Josh was such a great TV show. I'm surprised that nobody's made a t-shirt yet with Drake May's face and Josh McDaniel's face with the Drake and Josh.
There were a lot of like Twitter memes of that preseason when Josh McDaniels got hired, but I haven't seen a t-shirt. T-shirt would be great merch idea.
Yeah. Well, guess what, Courtney? Idea. You'll start to see them just because somebody's going, damn, good job, Courtney.
Drake and Josh was an excellent TV show.
So. I love it. Thank you, Wiggs.
You got it, brother.
All right. So, quick emergency top five Patriots-Steelers games the last 30 years.
Number five.
Number five, 2017, the Jesse James tight end down. They said the ball was moving, incomplete pass.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Then they get the ball to the swing. They swing it out to the left, inbounds, and then Roethlisberger threw the deflected interception. One of the most crazy games I've ever seen.
Number four.
The 1996 Fog Bowl, Foxborough Stadium, divisional round. The Patriots and Drew Bledsoe blew doors on the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cordell Stewart.
Coming in at number third.
Coming in at number third. We will go, let's go, oh, this is a tough one. 2016 AFC Championship, Patriots blew doors, the Steelers en route to winning Super Bowl 51.
Is that the trash?
Number two.
Was that the trash? What was the trash talking game?
There was a huge trash talking game when they won in 04. The Steelers beat the Patriots.
No, not that one. The one when the DB was talking all that.
07. Okay. That was Anthony Smith guarantee. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Brady absolutely demolished him in Gillette Stadium. Number two, I will go 2001 AFC title game. The Steelers and Bill Cowher had already made their reservations for New Orleans. The Patriots winning that game was like all-time Patriot. Brady goes down. Bledsoe comes in. I think there was a kick return, a punt return punt touchdown return. By Troy Brown, a blocked field goal return for a touchdown, and Jermaine Wiggins went to the Super Bowl for the first time.
Number one.
04, my favorite Patriots-Steelers AFC championship of all time. The Patriots had lost in the regular season. Joey Porter famously held the ball up saying, you ain't got this, you ain't got this, mocking the Patriots. The Patriots go to Heinz Field. Brady was sick, had a temperature of 102 degrees. They stayed at some crappy hotel because they had to get out of Boston early because of a snowstorm. The pass to Deion Branch when the Patriots were up 3-0 after Bettis fumbled on 4th-and-1 is the greatest throw in Tom Brady's career. Absolute laser. And this was the last game Ken Laird attended in person as a Steelers fan at Heinz Field in 04. The Patriots absolutely boat raced the Pittsburgh Steelers, getting revenge for the regular season win. And that'll do it for our leads. Coming up next, a man that knows a lot about winning, Bill O'Brien.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready.
maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Bill O'Brien joins us now, and he's powered by Verizon and by Shaw's and Star Market. Look for the new lower prices everyday tags through the store and save on the items you buy most. Good morning, Bill. Greg's up in Vermont. How are you today?
Hey, Curtis. I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. So rough one last weekend. 1-7 on the road, 7-1 at home since you took over. What's been, if you had one or two reasons, why do you think you guys are struggling away from Chestnut Hill?
Yeah, you know, I think it's one big reason is that, you know, when we're on the road, we let, first of all, we make too many what I call catastrophic mistakes, whether it's a, you know, a fumble snap or a, or, you know, an interception or, you know, something breakdown on defense, and we let it snowball. And we've got to figure that out, you know, because our games on the road, you know, obviously most of them, really all of them have been close games. And, you know, that's what it comes down to. At home, we obviously play better. And we're at home, you know, coming up against Cal, but we have to figure out the road, and we're working hard to try to figure it out.
Bill, after the game, you made a point to make it an emphasis that you guys need to do a better job coaching, and that starts with you. Going into a week where it's a bye week, what have you implemented? How do you make that a point to get better coaching out of your staff, out of yourself, for these players?
Well, the first thing we did was we sat in a team meeting and I showed them the whole tape, you know, every single play of the Stanford game. And, you know, I think it's important for the head coach to get up there in front of them and tell them, like, hey, man, look, this is what we're looking for. We've got to, you know, make a better call here, but here you have to execute better. We have to, I think the key to my role is to making sure that these guys know that we're all in it together, that there's no finger pointing. And Courtney, I know it doesn't look like this. I really understand that. I've been doing this a long time, but we're very close. You know, we're close to being what we want to be, but we have to stop with a couple, you know, whether it's, you know, poor coaching decisions or the mistakes that we make, you know, on the field. And so I think it's important to just show them, teach them, think about, you know, what we can do to be make it better. We had two really good practices where, you know, we scrimmaged and guys showed up ready to go. You know, we have a bunch of great guys, and I believe that we'll turn it around.
Well, Bill, I hope you know this. I hope your players know this. As somebody who's been a fan of BC football for quite some time, it does appear that way. Like, I think that's why these games are so heartbreaking for BC fans right now, is because we see how close you guys are, whether it was last week or the week before. Those are winnable games, and you're so close to it. And I think last week in particular, it's even harder, and I'm sure it's hard for you and the players when it comes to ACC matchups. You've got a bye week now and then another ACC matchup, because those are the games that you really want to capitalize on.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I appreciate you saying that. I just know that, you know, we make the, you know, we just give you a couple examples. We're driving the ball. We're going in to possibly go up 24-6. We have a bad snap. We give it back to Stanford. Then we're driving the ball again. We get it all the way down to the 1 yard line. We fumble the ball into the end zone. You know, these are these things really don't happen that much in practice. So why do they happen in games? And we have to figure that out, and not, it's not a yelling and screaming thing. It's just, hey man, look, we got to focus on one play at a time. We have to think about, hey, look, get this call, execute that call. And that's what we're trying to do.
Bill, when you look at your offense, obviously you guys, I think you lead the nation in passing yards per game, but one area where it seems like you've been struggling all season long is rushing the football. What's been the biggest difference from last year to this year that is kind of led you in that direction, knowing that you're a team that has run the football well in the past?
Yeah, we're very inconsistent in the running game. You're exactly right. We there are certain schemes that we run really, really well. And so when we run those, this is kind of going back to the coaching part of it, you know, myself, starting with me, you know, we have to do what we do well. This team does some things better than last year's team and vice versa. So we have to do what we do well, and I think if we can really, you know, understand that, and I think we do now, having spent a lot of time on this in the last few days here, you know, we'll be able to run the ball better. But it's been a lot of different things. You know, teams are taking away, they're loading the box, they're taking it away from us, you know, a lot of movement. We play too much what I call wad ball, where we stuff everybody in there, and, you know, it's like a rugby scrum. And we gotta figure that out. And I think we're on the right track with figuring that out and helping our players. And, you know, so I think it'll improve. I really do.
Billy, been a lot of talk across the NFL recently about how long should a top draft pick have at the quarterback position before you can make a judgment on them. Colin Cowherd had a theory that, you know, Thanksgiving in your second year. Do you have any sort of, given your expertise coaching quarterbacks in the NFL, how long a rookie top pick needs to be ready to go and performing in the NFL?
I think there's so much that goes into developing a young quarterback in the NFL. You know, the first thing you have to do, it's very difficult, and you have to find the right people to do this. And you know, obviously the Patriots have, with Josh and that offensive staff, they've got the right people. But, you know, you have to teach them, obviously, your system. You have to teach them NFL defensive philosophies because it's totally different than college. You have to teach them how to prepare, how to watch film, what they're looking for. I equate it to, like, you know, going to law school, right? They always say the first couple of years of law school is brutal, and then it gets a little bit better in the third year. I don't know if you can put a time limit on it, because I also think it has to do with who's surrounding the guy. Like, does the guy have an offensive line? Does the guy have guys he can throw to, right? You're trying to build the team around him. What's the defense like? I mean, there's so much that goes into it. But you have to give the guy time, you know, to think that you're going to develop a guy in 6 months or a year, and all of a sudden this guy's going to turn in. I mean, you know, the greatest example of all time, we saw it, right? Tom came in, he didn't play at all his first year, and then the second year, obviously everybody knows, Drew got hurt, and he was prepared. He had put so much time into it, but it was very simple, right? They kept it simple for him, and he was able to execute, and they played really well on defense, and they had a lot of veteran players, and, you know, it was the perfect storm. But it takes time. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, and he had a great tight end that really showed him the way in Wiggy.
Absolutely.
Bill, one of the things, like, even Tom's talked about this, is just with the quarterback position of these guys in college not being prepared because they don't even huddle. They look to the sidelines, and it's almost like everybody's being told what to do. But then when you get to the league, the quarterback is basically, you know, the captain of the ship. He has to give the play in the huddle. Is there a difference, because I think you would know better than anybody coaching in the league and coaching in college, is the college game a little bit more, I don't want to say, use the word dumbed down, like you're not smart, but where it's more of the coaches telling you what to do offensively versus the league, where you have to understand what you're doing as the quarterback and where what everybody's assignments are?
You know, I think I would pretty much agree with that. I would say that you know, there's less time to spend with the quarterback in college, right? Meaning this, like, the guy's got five classes, you know what I mean? So he's got to go to class. But I do think it's the philosophy of each school. Like, for instance, when I went to Penn State and I came straight from the Patriots to Penn State. And when I went there, I was amazed, like, you know, 4-3 defense, who's the Mike? And the quarterbacks are like, what are you talking about? 3-4 defense, who's the Sam? Like, they're like, what are you talking about? What's cover three? What's cover four? So you had to teach them not only your system, but what is going on defensively. That's the key, like, to understand how your system, how your formation, your personnel, your motion affects the defense. What is the defense doing? Do you understand defensive football? I always said that when I started coaching Tom could coach the secondary. Like, he could go over there and coach the secondary. He would line them up in the scout team. He's like, no, you should be in this leverage. You know, you should be over here. You know, and so I think, like, that comes from a ton of preparation and a ton of studying and seeing film and studying the playbook. And it takes time. It takes a lot of time.
All right, Billy. Well, thanks so much for your time. As always, I hope you can sit back and watch a little football this weekend before next week in the Cal Bears at Alumni Stadium.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. That's Billy O'Brien here on the Greg Hill Show without Greg Hill. Coming up next, They Said It.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.